Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. So, what do you think about the Cobourg Police Service? Well, now is your chance to tell them. A survey is underway until the end of the month to give your opinion. It will help guide the formation of the next strategic plan for the cops. But besides talking about that, Chief Paul Van de Graaff will talk about some other pressing issues. This includes the suspension of one of his officers. It will also include a recent number of opioid overdoses and deaths in Cobourg, along with a report going before the police board about the use of body cameras locally. Here is my interview with the chief. Listen up and tell me what you think. I'm so pleased to have with me today Cobourg Police Chief Paul Van de Graaff. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks for having me back, Robert.
There's been a lot of stuff going on with the Cobourg Police recently, so it's nice to have you on the show to catch up. I want to begin with the suspension of an officer from the Cobourg Police Service. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. These are trying times for obviously the member involved and the rest of the members of our police service. But obviously, public trust and confidence in the Cobourg Police Service is paramount. So when these types of things, infrequent as they are, come in front of us, I deal with them very, very seriously. And last week I became aware of one of our officers who was seconded to the Ontario Police College. By that, I mean, we engage in a contract with a college and he is sent there to teach for a 2-year or 3-year period. So he was actually an employee, if you will, of the Ontario Police College. We were made aware of an allegation that was made requiring an investigation, and I deemed based on the initial information that this matter was serious, and the member was recalled back to Cobourg, and an investigation was immediately commenced. Again, in the essence of wanting to be seen as being completely bias-free and without any perception of us trying to mitigate any investigation, we reached out to the Toronto Police Service and asked them to conduct the investigation in this matter. We did have to receive permission from the Ontario Civilian Police Commission, which we did do. So right now, the matter is before the Toronto Police Service. They will conduct a very thorough and complete investigation on our behalf. And in completion of that report, they will put their findings to me, and then we go to the next steps based on those findings.
Now, some people might be saying to themselves, why is it when a press release is sent out about anybody else in town, there are all kinds of details, including their name and the offenses? Why is this so different? Is it because it's one of your own?
Yeah, no. So what we have, the difference between, say, a person who is arrested for impaired driving is we don't have an employee-employer contract with those folks. So when we are dealing with our own employees, we have multiple legislations that we have to adhere to, first and foremost in relation to keeping human resource issues private until such time as it's no longer private. So at this particular time, we don't release a lot of the details or the officer involved until such time as the report is received. If the charges are, or if the investigation deems substantiated, in other words, they prove the allegation to be true, and if we go to a public hearing in a case, then all that information will become very public, because then it sort of takes it out of the realm of that employee relationship piece.
Moving on, I would like to talk about the rash of drug overdoses that took place at the end of June. A public warning was sent out by the Cobourg Police Service warning that if there was a toxic batch of drugs being distributed within the area. Can you tell us what led up to the public warning?
Yeah, well, as I look at my numbers for the year coming to date, in January and February, we had 3 overdoses, one fatality in January, another fatality in February. It kind of creeped up a little bit in March and April. Luckily, there were no fatalities, but we get it up to 4 and 6. In May and June, we went up to 9. And then right at the end of June, that last weekend before Canada Day, we really spiked with over 11 overdoses. These are the ones that we actually get called to. We have to understand that we know there are people within our community who are drug users, who are overdosing, but they're following the harm reduction strategies of using drugs with others. So their friends or their family or their whomever is administering Narcan, and they're not sort of calling for police to attend. So these are alarming, and we do believe it was a tainted batch of drugs that came through the neighborhood, and we really stay in connection with our opioid alerts through the health unit, to Halliburton Court, the Pine Ridge Health Unit, our local police services. So we know if Oshawa and Durham are struggling with this problem, we know that it's not too long before we'll see the similar problem here in Coburg. So we have our team who pays attention to this, and we work together. And again, a lot of people will say, Chief, why would you put that out? Why don't you just go arrest all the drug dealers? Okay, it's not as easy as that. And I always want to stand on, we're never going to arrest ourselves out of this opioid epidemic, recognizing that some people who are using drugs are really sick people, struggling with addiction, struggling with mental health issues. And we it's against the law, but we have to be compassionate as well and empathetic. So we focus our attention at those who are bringing drugs into our community. And if we can hold them accountable, we'll hold those accountable. But we are luckily with the Northumberland County and the new community safety well-being plan, it is no secret that addictions hit one of the top four issues to be addressed. So now we have to very strongly, as a coordinated effort, move to a very robust harm reduction strategy. And we have to do it tomorrow. We can't talk about this in the third quarter or next year. No, this harm reduction strategy has to happen now.
There have been a number of news reports over the period of the pandemic saying that there was a rise in the use of illegal drugs, and in particular, an increase in the use of opioids. We've also witnessed a rise in deaths, and some even within our region. How would you characterize the situation in regards to opioid use currently in our region, beyond the statistics that you've already shared with us?
The opioid crisis, we lost sight of it. I'm not gonna say we, but as a greater community, you talk about Ontario, we all focused on COVID and oh my God, and lockdowns, and should it be locked down, should it not be locked down? And we really lost track that the opioid crisis didn't go anywhere. It was just lost in the news. And it is not lost amongst service providers and amongst our MHART team, around the hospital, the frontline staff, the paramedics and the firefighters who are responding to these overdoses alongside of our officers. The opioid crisis is alive and well. Unfortunately, we got to move forward with a collaborative harm reduction strategy. We got to talk about safe needle exchanges. We got to talk about needle drop off. We've got to talk about safe drug use, because this issue there's no switch to this issue. So we have to confront it, accept it, and start moving people from crisis to some form of road of success. So for us, it's a daily struggle.
We talked about the opioid crisis in past interviews. In fact, going back to 2019 and 2018, you and I have talked about this issue in our community, and you've made the same urgings in each of those interviews. We've got to get going. We've got to get going on this issue. What is going to be the thing that's going to change coming out of the pandemic that's going to make a difference in dealing with this opioid crisis within our area?
Locally, the Community Safety Wellbeing Plan that was legislated by the province through the Police Services Act. And this is where, and I was fortunate enough to be asked to sit to represent policing services, but that brought everybody together. It's on the county's website. That plan speaks to a coordinated effort. There is no excuse for the lower tier municipalities to turn a blind eye to this. All of the lower tier municipalities have said, we're in on the community safety well-being plan. We've given it to the upper tier of the county to lead part of its addictions. And it now comes time where we have to start putting pieces into place. And I would be remiss if I didn't talk about, when you talk about harm reduction, we have to start talking about the decriminalization conversation that's happening. And quite frankly, the Canadian Association of Chiefs of Police published a very detailed report a year ago. It's hard, it's sad to say, but a year ago, talking about the decriminalization of simple possession. And that report also talked about public safety and policing and calling for the Ministry of Health to do something about this. So the call is local, but the call is also provincial into really recognizing a better way forward. And I think we're at a good time here. I think there are some small victories that we can be had here from learning lessons from Peterborough. They're not far away from us, and they've made some pretty tremendous success in addressing fatalities and the tragedy around it. It's still ever present, but still we're addressing the tragedies that exist.
I'd like to move on again and talk about something else that's been on your plate, and that is the next meeting of the Police Service Board, a report on the use of body cameras is coming forward. About a year ago, you did a survey on this topic, and I spoke to the chair of the board, Dean Pepper, about it at that time. Where are we within that process?
Yeah, so we are really, and I'm really proud of this project in that it was a year ago almost to this day that we got our survey. We brought forward some survey results, and the board received the information. And from that, they asked for a more robust report, a very thorough, robust report that was tasked back to me. And given just the list of priorities, I promised to have that before the board no later than a year. So that would have been in August of this year. At the same time, the province, the Privacy Commissioner of Ontario, actually asked that any police service that wasn't already in the process of rolling out a body-worn camera project just to hold off until the best practices, guidelines, and roadmap was released. It seemed to drag on. They promised it at the end of the first quarter, so I kind of said to our team, and luckily Inspector Jeff Shields, who's retiring at the end of this month, I was able to position him to finalize this report and grab funding and different sources to that thing. Not grab funding, grab the costs associated to it. And we were very proud that we're going to be coming forward on July 20th with our very robust report. And I did meet with the chair, and community consultation is foremost. There was some concern at our board level that although we had about 300 or so whatever surveys that were completed, they felt that that was a bit low numbers wise, although the percentages were overwhelmingly in support. So we're going to create an opportunity. So my recommendation, I don't know which way the board will go, but my recommendation to the board will be to receive the report in July and to give another month's opportunity for consultation from the community and make a final decision in August. And coincidentally, 2 days ago, the Privacy Commissioner did release their roadmap for best practices for police services with body-worn cameras. And much of what is in our report is echoed in the Privacy Commissioner's report. There's a couple issues around pilot projects that we're not going to take their best practice. We're going to move forward ahead differently on. And I don't feel that there is necessary need for a pilot. And luckily, St. Thomas Police Service, which is a like-sized service in a like-sized community, they did complete a pilot. And we were able to send frontline officers and my crime analysts to the St. Thomas and work with their folk for a day to really get the nuts and bolts. And we're going to present some of their findings on July 20th. And it was really remarkable in that I sent two officers. One was a champion, wanted body-worn cameras. Another officer was not necessarily in favor of body-worn cameras. And they both came back recognizing that there is a path forward should the board decide this.
So what does the report say? Is it recommending the use of body-worn cameras?
The recommendation is that this is the report that's being considered by the board, and there's lots of factors the board have to take in place. So I'm not making a recommendation in itself. The obvious question should be, Chief, where do you stand on this? So it's very clear. We are in the position of talking about body-worn cameras because of criminal activity in the United States by police officers against citizens. And that just bled into Ontario, and asked these questions around accountability. Just earlier in this interview, I spoke about the accountability issue. I truly believe, but our service is not perfect. I'm not a perfect chief, but we are very transparent and accountable about everything we do. And I stand in front of anybody, and I've said to you before that it's easy as chief to stand here and receive the accolades for the great work of the police service. But I'll also stand as chief in the case of a suspended officer and say, this is what we're dealing with. So if we're going to say we're going to get body-worn cameras because we're going to increase the accountability of the Coburg Police Service, then I don't think it's a good idea, because I don't think there's an issue there. And I don't think the expense justifies that. If you're talking about best evidence, if you're capturing best evidence at a crime, and the body-worn camera project will also include onboard videos in vehicles, so it's impaired driving and that kind of thing. If we're talking about best evidence and we're talking about true real-time evidence about misconduct and simplifying misconduct and clearing misconduct, then at the end of the day, that's the innovative strategy that needs to be followed. And it is the best practice for policing. And that's why there's a guideline and a guidebook by the Privacy Commission of Ontario. I've said earlier, if we play this interview back 10 years from now, people will laugh that we're having this conversation, even considering it. I think it'll just be natural. I've been policing long enough to know that we had the same debate about semi-automatic revolvers when we went from the 38s to the 40 cals. And now it's like, what? Nobody would even think about giving a police officer a six shot 38 caliber gun. So I think we're at a pivotal time in this. I think there's a need and a desire for the community to see body-worn cameras because it adds a layer of perception of transparency. And what, you know what they say about perception being reality. So overall, I think it's a good project. I think there's a lot of parameters that have to be put in place, and that there's still a lot of work to be done. And the price tag is expensive. Like this, we will not, when you talk about hours of video storage that's required and the amount of data that needs to be saved and for how long it needs to be saved, let alone the hardware and the connectivity issues, there's a lot of money attached to this, and it's a big ticket item. And at the end of the day, not only will the board be making a decision, council ultimately approves the police services board's budget. So council will have some say as to whether the means justify the ends. But at the end of the day, I think body-worn cameras are something that's going to be an everyday piece of equipment for policing.
How many cameras will you, with the pandemic winding towards some kind of next stage, and I don't want to say a conclusion, but certainly not in the same intense way that it has been in the past with the lockdowns. How is that impacting the Cobourg Police Service? What changes are taking place for you guys?
This is great news for everybody, in the sense that for those who know me know that I like to be very visible and in the public, and if I never have to do another Zoom call or another Teams call, I'd be a happy guy. I think it's a new reality though, but we're going to really get back into our engagement pieces. We're going to get, we're really looking forward to getting back into the schools, and where a lot of communities are struggling with police officers in the schools. During the pandemic, we heard from the schools in town, St. Mary's and CCI, that they wanted our officers in the schools and they wanted that presence. My youth advisory council that launched a couple months ago, that youth group is telling me that they want to see the police in the schools. So that's going to be really exciting to get back into the elementary schools and into the high school. That's going to be right in front of us. A lot of our community engagement pieces, our crime prevention through environmental design, our car seat clinics, just the day-to-day stuff, even our road safety initiatives were curtailed. As chief, again, I understand road safety is near and dear to many people in the community. We just didn't feel it was really reasonable when we had stay-at-home orders that our officers were doing proactive traffic stops, looking for infractions. And putting people at risk. So we'll be getting back into those initiatives, which is exciting. Public meetings, town halls. Just prior to this, again, the first 2 years of my chief role as chief have been pretty much occupied by COVID. So just before COVID, I had an amazing opportunity to meet with so many people at the Dutch Oven for a coffee with the chief. So to get back and doing those kind of things with our community and with our community consultation survey that's underway right now, to be able to push that forward. We're really looking forward to that. Our station, we soft opened this week, just trying to work through some of the bugs before some of the other town hall buildings and different things open up. So luckily one of our great partners in the Municio Essential station. So all of the people coming to the police station, they go to the kiosk, if you will. It takes their temperature, it asks them the standard COVID questions. We ask them to put their name and a contact number in just from contact tracing perspectives. And then we provide that face-to-face service. And should there be anything at a further outbreak, we will be able to contact those people, just like you do when you go to a restaurant or a patio. So we're really looking for that. Team Eagle and Campbellford were so amazing in the new technology around the UVC scanners. And a lot of these things came through the police accelerator. So yeah, we're going to keep moving through, but we're really looking forward to in September getting back into the schools with the kids. That's going to be a lot of fun for us and more of our outreach opportunities and having our board meetings public again. So now with the announcements today, we will now be able to go from a virtual board meeting July 20th to an in-person one, especially around the body-worn camera project. It'll be really exciting to have some public come out and hear the presentation, ask some questions, and have that face-to-face interaction.
On that note, then, the Cobourg Police Service is currently doing a survey as part of a strategic planning process. Can you tell us what this is about and how can residents participate?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Police Services Act of Ontario, in its former rendition and its newest rendition, does make it a requirement that the Police Services Board have a strategic plan, and they can be 3 or 4 year plans. So we're just completing our current plan. So the board did pass a motion in April. They formed a committee. So the board is driving a very, very good piece. So the first piece that we're underway is with our survey. Survey, you can just go on our website. There's lots of clicks there. There's the scan, the QRL code you can scan. The DBI has been really good about pushing this out, and there's been a lot of uptake already. Our Youth Advisory Council have been out there trying to get that youth demographic. Filling out a survey, it's not something that 14 to 18 year olds really want to sit down and spend 15 minutes answering a policing survey, but the Youth Advisory Council promised me they're going to do their best to get as many people to put it in. So that's our first one, and we're going to get a bunch of data hopefully by the end of July, and then we're going to start to rip that data apart. I fully expect there to be some high level areas of concern that they would like us to focus on, or they're not content with the way we're addressing certain issues. So what we intend to do is bring that high level problem to a focus group with maybe service providers, maybe mental health workers or students or seniors, whatever the particular demographic is, bring them into a focus group and have them rip apart that problem a little bit in more detail, so that when we roll out our plan, we can actually have very specific measurables. And that really is the board's marching orders for the chief of police. And that once that plan is created and those measurements are there, that's the what the board expects. And the chief's job is, how are we going to get this done? And then I as chief will work with community partners and internally and address the issues that our community sees as being foremost in their mind.
Chief, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
No problem. Thanks again, Robert.
That was Cobourg Police Chief Paul Van de Graaff. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at ConsiderThisNorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.